A brief history of the Holy Roman Empire. Otto III's regency. This will also include dealing with the French. Now, the death of Otto II at so young an age was a blow to the empire. Not so much that it grieved his death, for he was too young to have accomplished anything, but left only a 3-year-old child to claim the throne. This same child of 3 was kidnapped by Henry the Quarrelsome, who had hoped to ransom the baby in exchange for the imperial title. Empress Theophano immediately left for Germany, where an imperial diet demanded that Henry return the child. Certainly, Henry could not slaughter a child. If he had, it would get him no closer to the throne and would make him a tyrant in the eyes of the people. Henry was forced to obey and release the young boy to his mother. Immediately after, the empress left Italy for Germany. Pope John XIV's position was threatened. The people of Italy did not favor him because he had not been duly elected, and national pride made them suspicious of a pope so close to the imperial family. In April, the anti-pope Boniface VII made his move. With Byzantine funds to back his return to power and the assistance of the Crescentius family, Boniface returned to Rome and had John XIV imprisoned as an impostor. John was beaten, starved, and possibly poisoned. He died in Castel de San Angelo 4 months later. Since Otto III was still a mere child, the Empress Theophano ruled in his name. Nevertheless, she exercised little control in Italy. For the next 10 years, Theophano, and later Otto's grandmother Adelaide, would rule as empress in his stead. They were wise enough not to assert their authority too much, but to stay in the background. As a Byzantine princess, as well as a Western empress, Theophano enjoyed the support of both East and West. She therefore devoted herself to raise Otto III as best she could. The best education was provided for him. 3 of his tutors would later rise up to become popes, one of whom would betray him, John V, John Palaeologotus, or John XVII, or 18th, and Sylvester II, all knew the young Otto. Gregory was the grandson of Otto the Great and Otto's cousin. He also served as chaplain to Otto. John Palaeologotus was Otto's godfather. Sylvester, better known at the time as Gilbert of Arlac, was a learned and exceptionally well-educated man who would not only tutor Otto, but was also a musician for Otto's church. Gregory would become the first German pope, Sylvester the first French pope, and John would become a severe example of what happened to those who betrayed Otto and Rome. With the empress spending most of her time in Germany, the country of Italy and Rome in particular, again fell prey to the Crescenti family. Crescentius I had died the very year Boniface VII returned to Rome, and in his place John Crescentius now sat as consul and patrician. Boniface, however, was hated and despised by the people. He had stolen the Vatican treasures and committed treason by conspiring with Byzantium. He murdered 2 previous popes and now called himself the Vicar of Christ. Not so an affectionate name that the public had given him was Bonifacius. In 985, a revolt erupted and Boniface was murdered. His body was dragged into the streets naked, where the people kicked, beat, and stabbed the dead body. His deceased remains were brutalized for some time before it was safe to take the body for burial. With the new election ready to take place, John Crescentius wanted to ensure that a pope would be elected that would not take away from his authority. The empress resided in Germany, and the pope was the only real threat to the Crescenti rule. Crescentius knew that, however, that Boniface, who had been raised by the Crescentius I, had created a reaction against puppet popes who abused their authority. He decided the wisest thing was to compromise. He backed John XV, who agreed to take a minimal role in temporal affairs and devote himself to spiritual duties of the office. John XV was then elected and consecrated. In 987, the King of France, Louis V, surnamed Louis the Do-Nothing or Louis the Lazy, died in a hunting accident. He had been the last of the Carolingian kings. Ever since the fall of Louis the Fat, the French had continued to argue that only Charlemagne's descendants alone could rule as legitimate emperors, while Germany set up its own emperors. The French politely ignored them and set up for themselves Carolingian kings. Nominally, they continued to be part of the empire, and their allegiance to the church was never questioned. However, the relations between the French clergy and the Roman clergy would continue to decline. The fact that the papacy supported the Germanic line of emperors doubtless did not sit well with the French, who would have preferred French emperors. Again, they politely ignored this and continued to serve the empire as independent-minded vassals of the Pope, if not the emperor. Nevertheless, as time passed, the relations between the French clergy and the Roman clergy continued to be strained. The first controversy had occurred as far back as Pope Leo IV and his public disputes with Himar and Lothar. Himar and Lothar were eventually forced to acquiesce to the Pope, but occasional conflicts continued, with Rome ending up on top each time. From this time forward, the battles would become more and more heated. In each case, however, the fact remained that France never departed from the empire, nor as a vassal to the Pope. The death of Louis the Do-Nothing left France in a dilemma. A long line of Carolingians was beginning to dwindle. The French had opposed the Germanic emperors, largely based on the fact they were not descendants of Charlemagne. They argued that the emperors must be of Carolingian descent and rejected all others. In France, however, the Carolingian kings had become as incompetent and weak as any emperor ever had. They were faced with a choice: elect another weak Carolingian king, or Hugh Capet, an important duke who had alliances with both Otto II and Otto III. The French magnates agreed that it was time to abandon the Carolingians and choose a real king. In 987, Hugh Capet became the first in a long line of Capetian rulers. It is ironic that many modern scholars list his ascension as the break with the Holy Roman Empire. There can be no doubt that there was now a clear division between eastern and western portions of the Holy Roman Empire, but Capet hoped to further forego his alliance with the eastern segment of the Holy Roman Empire, not to breach from it. Already a colleague of the still young Otto III, he arranged for a synod to meet in 991. The Archbishop of Reims, Arnulf, was the illegitimate son of one of the Carolingian kings and was accused of treason against Hugh Capet. He was deposed, and Otto III's mentor and tutor, Guibert of Aurillac, later Pope Sylvester II, was named the new bishop. This move might have improved France's relations with the emperor, but it angered the Pope. Pope John XV demanded that Arnulf be reinstated and Guibert step down. The French clergy declared that the papacy had violated the sacred trust by its corruptions and no longer had authority to enforce its will. Guibert himself, a future pope, derided the decadence to which the papacy had fallen and defied the pope. Several synods were held over a course of 3 years. In the end, Pope John XV was victorious. The French were forced to give up. Guibert stepped down, but the demotion was good for him. Otto III was now officially of age and invited his old friend and mentor to accompany him to Rome. At the same time, Pope John XV was also successful in negotiating peace between Normandy and England. The two northern nations had been on the verge of war when the Pope averted hostilities and negotiated a peaceful settlement between the two parties. Still greater for the empire was when the Duke of Poland offered his whole realm to the protection of the Holy See. Although Poland had already become part of the empire as vassals, the Duke had hoped that the Pope could provide more protection for his realm, as well as a higher level of respect and dignity for his realm. He had hoped to become a true nation of the empire, not just a vassal state. Despite these successes abroad, John XV had more trouble at home. John Crescentius had died in 988, leaving Crescentius Nomentatus as the supreme power of Rome. This Crescentius was far worse than the others. He called himself emperor and ruled as a corrupt tyrant. Bribes were the common mode of business, and the Pope was treated with remarkable contempt. Once Crescentius even refused French dignitaries admittance to the papal palace unless they paid bribe money. John XV was a virtual prisoner of the new Crescentius, and in 995, John XV fled to Sutri, where he was able to send a dispatch to Otto III, asking him to come and rescue Italy. Otto III immediately embarked with Guibert of Aurillac, but before he could arrive, John XV had died of a fever. So as we can see, the pornocracy is over, but the mess that is Italian politics and the papacy of this time is just unrelenting. So we'll see what happens with good old Otto III. Now the sources for this is Religion and the Holy Roman Empire by Ferguson, Before France and Germany by Gary, The Oxford History of Medieval Europe by Holmes, The Papal Encyclopedia by Bunsen, The Capetian Kings of France, 987-1328 by Butler and Adams, French History, Volume 1 by Guizot, Barbarian Invasions by Delbruck, Early Germans by Todd, and The Rise and Fall of the Holy Roman Empire by Criswell. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.